This is Ozarks at Large. Happy Wednesday. While Arkansans may not know the results of the presidential election for a couple more days, they do have the outcomes of several federal, state, and local level races. We'll get to all of that in just a moment. But first, we wanted to hear from you as you cast your ballots on Election Day yesterday. So we stopped by the Springdale Civic Center to find out why some of you waited until the final day to vote and what's motivating you in the first place.
Actually, we tried so many times during the week, but there were so many things going on that I couldn't. And I'm like, okay, this is the only time I better go right now before it's too packed in the afternoon. And here we are. The most important thing is we need to come and vote, make our vote count.
We were out of state working. I drove from Minnesota last night to get here to vote.
I actually ended up putting it off for a little too long, so I had to come today.
Today, special day. I would like happy vote for president.
Well, I feel very good for giving my vote for president that me like. I'm happy.
You know, I enjoy coming out and, you know, the energy and the excitement of actually voting, being here, so.
I didn't really know what day it was, really. I'm not really too familiar with politics, to be honest with you. But, I mean, I don't know what's today, and today was my only day off. So, I mean, it was just the day off I got from work. So I said, well, might as well come over here and vote.
It's very safe. I mean, we all keep our distance. They give us little special pens so we won't touch anything. They have hand sanitizer. I mean, everybody's wearing their mask, as, you know, as we all should be doing.
I don't know. I'm kind of excited. It's, you know, a way to get your voice out there.
I'm a firm believer in what Trump's doing for this country, and I want to be here to vote for his behalf.
Well, we need a high person and working country. That's all we need.
No, my important is for a change. A lot of things that no right.
Okay.
It's my important coming over here because I see a lot of things that no right. It's a one change.
You know, if you don't vote, you don't get your opinion counted. So, just wanted to make my opinion matter just as much as everybody else's.
It's honestly, this year has just been total chaos and all, but the candidates that we have to choose from is kind of like the last election, stuck between a rock and a hard place. There's really no great selection, but I definitely wanted one over the other, so I felt it was important to show that.
I actually feel that people took advantage of the entire week past, or the past weeks, because I see less people right now, but I do remember passing by and it was a little bit more hectic, so I think they decided to come earlier, especially with all this pandemic going on.
If you have the chance to vote, you know, you should vote, because other people can't. So if you can, go ahead.
I come from a family of you know, Hispanics, so they can't really vote because they're not citizens. So, I mean, me being the oldest one, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I hear on the radio all the time, you know, it's your right to vote, it's your right to vote. So I came over here. I mean, it's not like I know what it is. I know what we're doing, but I said, might as well. I mean, I got the right to vote. My parents told me, go ahead, vote. I mean, it's your right, so go ahead. So that's why I'm here.
And with me now on the phone from Little Rock is Roby Brock, who is with our partner Talk Business and Politics. A pleasant Wednesday to you, Roby.
Good to be with you and your listeners, Kyle.
All right. We could talk forever about national politics, and probably nothing would change by the time we were done with that conversation. Let's address Arkansas, and let's first start with Arkansas was a red state 2 years ago, 4 years ago. It certainly appears to be a red state in 2020.
I think it's a redder state now, to be honest with you, and this may not be something that every listener of KUAF may want to hear, but I think it's about to get redder even, to be honest with you. Look, you saw Republicans obviously assert their dominance with incumbents in this election cycle. Even the closely watched second congressional district race was not as competitive as it was, you know, hyped to be. And you see Tom Cotton winning by big numbers. You see President Trump winning the state by a huge margin, a little bit bigger than what he got in 2016 even. And I think the most decisive I guess, example of how much redder the state got is there were two House and two Senate seats down in South Arkansas, which is typically some Democratic strongholds that were held by Democrats, and all four of them went to the Republican candidates last night. And then a couple of potential races here in Central Arkansas for the House appear to be won by the Republicans, although I think the incumbents, although there are a couple challenge ballots that could still affect those races. But Arkansas was ruby red before this election cycle. I'm not sure what's redder than ruby red, but whatever that is the direction that we're going. And just one other thing I'll throw out there as to why I think it gets redder is next year the Republicans will control the redistricting process, and that will allow them to look at some Democratic seats and see if there's a way to redraw them to make them more competitive for additional Republicans.
Perhaps the term that will signify something that's redder than ruby red will just simply be Arkansas red.
There's a possibility there.
So, the Republican Party of Arkansas not only has the super majorities in the legislature, they're superer.
Yes. But look, this will also lead to issues, problems of governing as well, too, because it will not be a monolithic Republican Party in Arkansas. There will be moderate Republicans, there will be ultra-conservative Republicans, there will be Republicans that have particular, pet issues that are, touch points for them. And just like we saw with Democrats, when Democrats had big dominance, there were conservative Democrats, moderate Democrats, and liberal Democrats. And so you've got to hold those coalitions together. There'll be some big picture items that they'll all agree on, but there'll be a lot of infighting amongst Republicans over the next couple of years, and particularly at the legislature. I've already seen some of it this morning on Twitter, where I've seen two state senators taking pot shots at each other. And I'm like, well, that's what's coming in the Republican Party in the years to come, particularly with a big, open governor seat and attorney general seat and everything else in 2022.
Earlier this week, you and John Brumman had your weekly conversation. There were discussions about the second district congressional race, the one that received the most attention. And it kind of broke down along those traditional voting lines. And in the end, French Hill wins re-election.
Yeah, the formula for Joyce Elliott, the Democrat, to have pulled that race out was to perform over 60% in Pulaski County and to do somewhere in the mid-30s in Faulkner and Saline County and do a little bit better than the 22% that Clark Tucker got in 2018 in White County. Those are your big population areas there. Joyce Elliott actually underperformed in Saline County and in White County from where Clark Tucker did in 2018. She did about the same in Faulkner County. And while she did well in Pulaski County, she didn't do as well as she needed to run up the score in a bigger way to do that. And so at the end of the night, French Hill, that formula that has worked for the Republicans for the better part of a decade in Central Arkansas, followed its typical path of how it plays out. And I have looked at the numbers a little bit closer this morning, too. And even some of the outlier smaller counties in the district came in bigger margins for French Hill than they have traditionally, and that accumulates another couple of thousand votes to the bottom line for him. There are still some contested ballots in Pulaski County that haven't been counted that may change the numbers a little bit more, but I don't expect that race to change more than a percent or two, potentially into Joyce Elliott's favor. It's not going to change the outcome of this race.
A poll that Talk Business and Hendricks College did showed that Tom Cotton had overwhelming support. That, of course, played out last night. Any reason to believe, had there actually been a Democrat on the ballot, anything would be dramatically different in those results?
No. I think the Libertarian in that race, Ricky Dale Harrington, I think that he received a big chunk of Democratic support in there as a protest vote to Republican Senator Tom Cotton. And I do think that he got the traditional 2 or 3% that Libertarians typically get. It does not look like very many disaffected Republicans decided to voice any concerns over Tom Cotton. He seems to have done very well with Republican voters in the state of Arkansas. He came out in some pretty big numbers, so not a surprise there. And I don't think if there was a Democrat in the race, it would have been more than maybe 2 or 3 percentage points difference from where it actually landed.
I know this is not the case, but it appears when you look at the numbers statewide that every Arkansan went to vote and voted for issue 1, voted for issue 2, and voted against issue 3. the margins in difference are really startlingly similar.
They are. I saw that too. I mean, they're literally the same numbers. You just think on the one that failed, it's just a reversal.
Right.
I think that, I think, first of all, I think there was a lot of popular support for issue one because the governor was behind it. There was a well-funded campaign that promoted issue one. And so those numbers were very much in line with what I thought it would do. I figured it'd be somewhere between 55% and 60%. I think it was on the low end there, and it did pass. Term limits is a popular issue, whether you like it or not. It is one of those easy to understand issues, even though this particular amendment was a bit complicated. You just read the ballot title to change term limits or alter term limits, amend term limits, and you just say term limits, and there's going to be a pretty natural 55, 45, 60, 40 reaction in favor to that. So I don't think that this term limits is going to really change much of how the legislature functions, even though it does change how many years they can serve and how they do it in what order. But at the end of the day, it's term limits, plain and simple. The other issue three, this ballot reform issue, I think was really complex and complicated and difficult to understand. There was never a proactive group out there that put money behind it with a simple message of, hey, vote for issue three because it does X. And lacking a clear message, lacking clear organization on it, I think people are going to reject anything that they just don't fully understand. And I think that was the case in issue three.
And, you know, it does kind of reflect, maybe I'm reaching a bit here, but it does kind of reflect that independent nature that Arkansas voters have had where, you know what, don't tell us what we can and cannot get on the ballot every 2 years.
Yeah, I think that's part of it, too. There's, again, we have a populist streak in the state, which is why term limits is popular. It's why raising the minimum wage was popular a couple of years ago. I think it's why we're at a place now with medical marijuana being accepted by a majority of Arkansans while we're there. And again, I take away my right to, or make it more difficult for me to get issues on the ballot, and I might have a problem with that.
All right. Literally, we don't have all the results from the 2020 election yet, but here I go. 2022, anything that we've learned in the last 24 hours to think about for the next 24 months in Arkansas?
Well, I mentioned redistricting earlier and how that is going to change the landscape in Arkansas for Democrats to, again, build on their small momentum that they have made over the last couple of years with fielding candidates and having some competitive races. It's going to get, I think, more difficult after redistricting. So for 2022, I think that the Democratic Party, and I don't say that about leadership in particular, I'm just talking about people that consider themselves Democrats and however that organization structures itself and chooses to structure itself going forward. I think that they need to put a long-term plan in place for what can we do over the next several election cycles to build a farm team, to target races where if we can't be competitive, we've got to at least put some visible candidates out there and start building our brand. And how do we define our brand to reach these voters that are clearly identifying with Republican politics now? I just don't think it's a matter of recruiting candidates and putting them out there and hoping that they do well. If you look at the election returns where they're were a lot of Democratic candidates. You know, look at Northwest Arkansas, for example. There really were not very many close races up there, despite the demographics that are changing in that area. It's going to be a slow, slow, slow teapot to get boiling. And so I really feel like there needs to be a strategic long-term plan in place. Look at what's gone on in Texas and Georgia and some other states where there have been some Democratic gains. We don't have the same rural-urban kind of transition that's going on in some of those states, but there are probably some lessons to be learned for the Democrats there. And they're going to need that to rebuild themselves for the next, you know, decade, because it's going to get more difficult with the way Republicans are going to be in control of redistricting.
Finally, you were talking about the potential differences in Republicans in the legislature. Anything for the upcoming legislative session that you think might have shifted because of the results?
I don't. I think tax policy will be something interesting to watch. Our budget numbers are doing a little bit better than expectations, which means there could once again be, you know, some surplus money there. Does that lead to an advocacy for more tax cuts, particularly with the passage of the half-cent sales tax for roads? Does, you know, I know Governor Hutchinson has wanted to bring that state income tax top rate down to 5%. I don't think he can get there, you know, by the end of his term as governor, but does he make another attempt at that now that the possibility is there? With these Republican supermajorities, there will be a huge appetite to do more tax cuts. And there will not be enough Democrats to block them from doing it if, you know, to put that money into things like education and prisons and health care. So I think that's where the potential ramifications are. The other thing is, you know, we'll have to watch Arkansas Works. I think that the Supreme Court case on the Affordable Care Act is going to be a bigger determinant of what happens with Arkansas Works, the old private option going forward. So I think that decision is going to have to come down before it gets to the state legislature and we see if we have another contentious battle for funding that Medicaid expansion program. Those are two areas I would kind of watch for 2021's legislative session.
And you'll be able to watch those develop at talkbusiness.net. Roby Bronk is with Talk Business and Politics. Roby, thank you so much. I'm sure we'll talk again between now and 2022.
Good to be with you, Kyle.